Good morning, everybody. Mad props for making it to church this morning. I hope whatever trauma you may have incurred on the way here got washed out during worship. Please come on Wednesday. We'll be here for Ash Wednesday. It's the first time we've been able to host an Ash Wednesday service here at the neighborhood, so we're really excited about that. We hosted a Christmas Eve service this year, and it was so wonderful to be able to use this space for those church calendar events that don't fall on a Sunday. And so we'll be here from 7:30 to 8:30 on Wednesday night. And one last thing. If on your way out today you get stuck, come back in and find a friend to help you. Friends don't let friends spin out, according to our setup team. So if as you're leaving today, it should be like somewhat clear. Eric, the building manager who is here on Sunday mornings. You might have seen him in his golf cart-ish thing with like a big plow on the front. So he's been working this morning to clear the snow. But if you get stuck, just stop and come in and find a friend, okay? We will help you. We want everybody to get home safe today. All right. So with that, we are the church. A group of people, followers of Jesus, formed together as a community. The church is not a building or an organizational structure. The church has a building or a rental space, and it has an organizational structure, but the people who actually inhabit that space and that structure, they are the church. Okay? And the church is created in a really specific way. We're more than just a group of people that all kind of merge together in the same auditorium on a Sunday morning. There is really specific design and purpose to the church. It requires some intentionality, and it requires some understanding of how it works in order to kind of experience the benefits of living in a church community. Here's what I mean. Bruce, my husband, and I, we have the same iPhone, okay? I use my phone to do three things: Instagram, email, and to text all of you. Okay, those are the three things I use my phone. Here are the things that Bruce uses his phone for: check his email, control our TV, turn the music on in our dining room, manage our budget, buy light bulbs off of Amazon, control the sound here on a Sunday morning, and check the direction of the wind before his morning bike commute. We have the same phone. I use my phone to do three things. One of us is fully engaging in the design and the capacity of that phone, and the other one is barely dipping her toe into the water. The church has a unique and thoughtful and purposeful design, and we have a choice. Do we engage in the full design and capacity of this thing, or do we just dip our toe into the water? So that's kind of the question before us all the time. We've been reading 1 Corinthians lately as a church, and this is a letter between Paul and a church in Corinth. And Paul, during this letter, is helping this church work through some issues that they've run up against. They're stuck. And in each passing of an issue, Paul teaches this church more about who they are. Right? So he's kind of getting them untangled in a certain particular area that they're stuck in. And in that process, he's reaffirming how they are designed. He's saying things like, you know, work out this problem in this way because this is who you are. 1 Corinthians is kind of drenched in all of this understanding of the way the church should work when the church is at its best. Paul is teaching the church about God's intentional design for their community. And so this letter is really helpful for us as a church to read together. We want to be a church that's living into that full design that God has for us. We want to follow Jesus with integrity. We want to create a healthy, growing community of people. We want to welcome and worship and serve each other. And there is a design for how that happens. We aren't just kind of figuring out it as it goes along. God is really specific about how churches should work. That's the gift of them, how he has designed them. And so we're going to read this letter today, and the portion of it that we're working through gives us this kind of check-in moment where we get to ask, are we living as the church that God designed? Are we participating in a healthy, growing community, or does something need to be tweaked? Do we need to change something? And so we're going to read part of 1 Corinthians today. Paul gives an image for what the church is like and how it's designed. And you've probably heard this image before, and it's about the body. And so we're going to read 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. Here's what it says. For example, the body is one unit, yet has many parts. As all the parts form one body, so it is with Christ. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Whether we are Jewish or Greek, slave or free, God gave us all one Spirit to drink. As you know, the human body is not made up of only one part, but of many parts. Suppose a foot says, I'm not a hand, so I'm not a part of the body. Would that mean it's no longer a part of the body? Or suppose an ear says, I'm not an eye, so I'm not a part of that body. Would that mean that it's no longer a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would it hear? If the whole body were an ear, how could it smell? So God put each and every part of the body together as he wanted it. How could it be a body if it only had one part? So there are many parts, but one body. An eye cannot say to a hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. The opposite is true. The parts of the body that we think are weaker are the ones we really need. The parts of the body that we think are less honorable are the ones we give special honor. So our unpresentable parts are made more presentable. However, our presentable parts don't need this kind of treatment. God has put the body together and given special honor to the part that doesn't have it. God's purpose was that the body should not be divided, but rather that all of its parts should feel the same concern for each other. If one part of the body suffers, all the other parts share in its suffering. If one part is praised, all the others share in its happiness. You are Christ's body, and each of you is an individual part of it. So this is in the midst of Paul helping this church in Corinth sort through an issue, and he takes this kind of gap in between these problems that they're facing, and he says, this is who you are. You are a group of individuals gathered together, and in so you form a collective. And the image that he uses, the image that he gives them to understand this, is a body, a physical body. You are one body, many parts. And so this image is really helpful because it gives us some kind of essentials about how our community as a church is designed. And so we're just going to talk about these this morning. And as we do, I would just kind of challenge you to ask a question of, am I doing that? Or am I comfortable with that? Or do I like that? Because this can be the design of how we are supposed to function as a church community, but it's another step to really engage that design. It can say, yeah, this is within us, but it's a whole nother level of intentionality and commitment to access that design. And so the first thing that this image of a body teaches us is that being connected is essential. We are one body. As many parts, we are connected together. At our baptism, when we commit to following Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit and we become a part of the body of Christ. We don't just follow Jesus alongside each other. We actually belong to one another. And so our connectedness matters, right? So if you think about it in your physical body, my body is dependent on my hands to write, to cook, to drive, to pick up my kids. And my hands are dependent on my brain, my nerves, my muscles to move in a specific way. And when they are disconnected from each other, neither works very easily. It requires another level of intentionality or different things to help my body work should my hand be disconnected from my whole body. And so the connectedness within a church community is crucial to you receiving the benefits of it. This is more than just being present. This is more than just kind of showing up and being in the seats. It's about being connected to the people that are near you. You know, too often we really use the church as a pit stop. Okay, I show up on a Sunday morning once a month, fill up on Jesus, you know, kind of see some people from afar, do, you know, exchange some pleasantries, and then I'm off on my way. And never should the church and the rest of my life intersect. But that's not actually how this is designed. The church community is designed to be kind of interwoven into the rest of your life. The church is meant to be folded in so that throughout your life, during the week, throughout the different transitions of your life, you're able to access the church. The church is able to kind of speak into your life. So here's what it would look like. You have a presentation the next day. You send a text to a person you go to church with saying, "Can you pray for me? This is a big deal. I'm kind of nervous." You have a kid that's having a hard time. Ask someone who has a kid, or maybe not, to meet someone for coffee and talk about how hard this is. You made too much food for dinner? Invite someone over to eat. We often think about this connectedness and we overthink it, right? I think sometimes we get stuck in thinking this is a much bigger level of commitment than I'm ready for. Okay, I'm not so sure about this person. This person's not so sure about me. We haven't done a thorough background check. Like, we're seeing each other. We're not committed. But I actually think the commitment to one another within the body of Christ is a little bit more simple than we might like to think it is. We belong to the same Jesus, and so we belong to each other. There is a mutuality here. There should be an ease in our interactions to say to another person, you know, when someone says to you in the hallway or getting a bagel, you know, "How are you? How was your week?" That's an invitation for you to connect. It is really easy to do that reflex default of, "Great, yours?" And really on the inside you're like, "Actually really crappy, yours?" And so that connectedness gives us that freedom to say, "It was really tough. We were inside for 7 days, you know. I'm going nuts. I don't like the snow. We haven't seen the sun in 10 days. You know, this is the invitation to say, "This, I'm slogging through the weeds." The gift of the church is that we value connectedness. The gift of the church says there's this beauty in being able to say to the person nearest you, "We belong to each other. And so I have a freedom to answer your question honestly. Because we share the same worship space." And I will say this, the church is not a perfect slice of humanity where it is all easy and healthy and roses and rainbows. It's not. The church is full of messy and broken people who are all just trying to figure out how to do their life and love Jesus. At some point, you will be in conflict with someone. At some point, someone will hurt your feelings. At some point, someone will offend you. But I actually think that's the beauty of the church. Because in the church, no one is perfect. In the church, there is a level of understanding that everyone is holding something hard and painful and complicated, whatever your version of it is. In the church, there is this understanding that however I am feeling or whatever my reality is, we're all walking towards the same Jesus. And so while it is never perfect, there is great beauty in everyone walking towards the same person. There's great safety there, healing there, hope there. So being connected to it versus being present is really essential. The second thing in the body, this image of the body, is that everyone is important. There are no nobodies. Okay? This is really key. Earlier it said, if the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? If the whole body were an ear, how could it smell? If God put each and every part of the body together as he wanted it, how could it be a body if it only had one part? So there are many parts, but one body. An eye cannot say to a hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. The opposite is true. The parts of the body that we think are weaker are the ones we really need. And the parts of the body that we think are less honorable are the ones we give special honor. There are all different kinds of people in the church. Here in the neighborhood, there are people of different cultural backgrounds, ages, interests, abilities, personalities, and perspectives. That's exactly how God designed it. And we benefit from everyone contributing their unique design to our body. We need teachers and visionaries. We need leaders and followers. We need coaches and strategists. We need the compassionate, the brave, the thoughtful, the risk takers, and those that are cautious. If we are going to grow and thrive as a community, we need a full array of people in our body. Everyone is important. Paul is adamant about that. There is no ranking in the parts of the body. Everyone is important. You know, we have a leadership team here at the neighborhood. And there's a team of people, I don't know, there's like eight or nine of us. And this is a team of people that works really closely with me. We plan things, we make decisions about our church. We pray for you, we care for you. And we are a unified team. And let me tell you, the people on this team could not be more different from each other, okay? They are from all different parts of the world. They have different interests and personalities. They think and process differently. They have different perspectives and opinions, and it is awesome. When the circle is complete of this team, it feels exactly like God's design. People coming and contributing in their unique design to the corporate vision of our church. Because you know what? I do not want to be on a team of people just like me. Like, let's take a minute. Can you imagine a team of Renee's? That's an appropriate time to laugh, okay? It would be fun. I'm going to give myself 2 cents on fun. It would be fun, full of heart and passion. It would also go too fast, have too many ideas, and not enough detailed plans. My leadership team's like, yeah, it would. I spout out ideas like an ATM spouts out cash, okay? I just have an idea an hour. That leadership team often will say, good idea, no. Or, good idea, not right now. And the gift of that team is that when I'm at my best, I got ideas. And when they are at their best, they are creating, you know, a cone that says, do not pass. That's the gift of it. Everyone is important in the body of Christ. You have a unique design, unique personality, perspective, background that is a gift to the corporate body. Do you embrace that? Do you see or understand what you have to contribute as a gift? Because in order to give it, you have to know that it is valuable. There are moments on this leadership team that it is clumsy and awkward. There is conflict at times, believe it or not. But we are able to stand in those differences and work together. And when we do that, it really thrives. Our body is better for it. Everyone is important. There are no nobodies. You know, you have something to give, to share, to offer. If everyone is a part of the body, then everyone is important for its functioning. The body of Christ needs everyone in this room. Without you, we are incomplete. Without you, we are missing something. Do you believe that? You know, several years ago, I think sometimes there is a challenge where we can say everyone is important, everyone is valuable, everyone matters, there's a space for everyone. But sometimes it takes a little bit of effort and time and intentionality to find the key to each other. Right? We can say, okay, we're committed to this thing. We're trying to be in community in love and grow together. But sometimes it takes a little bit more effort to find the thing that makes us click. Sometimes it takes a little bit of work to find the key to each other. Okay? A few years ago, I was in a small group. This was more than a few years ago. I was in a small group with a group of people who, it was a group of almost all very young 20-somethings. Okay, most of us were recent grads and or just finishing up our senior year. It was probably a group of like 20 people. And I would say, you know, 18 of us were in that kind of age group. And then there was a couple that were in the group as well, and they were in their 40s. And the wife was really outgoing and friendly and bubbly, and it was really easy to get to know her. And her husband was incredibly quiet, okay? He was kind of shy. He was really reserved. He didn't say anything during the group. He was really kind when you would interact with him, but he was hard to connect with, okay? And so we were in a small group for about 6 months together, I just felt like I didn't really know him, and that was challenging for me. I couldn't figure out how to get to know him. And so one day at the end of the small group, we grouped up into pairs to pray for each other. And what do you know? But the person sitting next to him was the most extroverted, kind of loud, just gregarious personality. And this woman who has this personality and this really quiet guy get matched. And I was leading the group at the time. And when I matched them, I thought, oh, for the love of all. Like, that is not going to go well. Okay, they couldn't have been more different from each other. And I just was really afraid that this was going to ruin this guy's group experience to be with someone that was so incredibly different than him. Okay, so we kind of have a time where you're praying with your partner, the time ends, and people are just like quietly waiting for each other to end, and all of a sudden you hear from the corner of the room where those two are seated, you hear this really extroverted woman say, "I don't believe you, prove it," really loud, okay, and I'm like, oh God, oh God, oh God, like she's called him out, right, and this guy, really reserved guy, he stands up, and he doesn't say anything, and he perfectly moonwalks across the living room, okay? Just perfectly, like perfectly, does this, like, he just doesn't say anything. He perfectly moonwalks across the living room, and the place goes nuts because it was someone that we had known for 6 months, and all of a sudden we're getting to know another part of their personality, and this, you know, gregarious extrovert stands up next to him and she's like, teach me, teach me. And that night, a bunch of 20-somethings learned how to perfectly moonwalk from this really quiet, reserved guy who was about 20 years older than we were, okay? It was ridiculous. It was totally ridiculous. I will tell you, it absolutely changed my experience of being in a community with him. Because after that, we learned that he had this really incredible hobby of matching food and drink, and so he hosted us for a potluck in which he meticulously set out this multi-course tasting for all of us dummies who had no idea what we were doing, and he taught us something. And then we learned that he was really good at a few things, and so when we didn't know how to do those things, we would call him. And so really what's true is that the moonwalk was like the icing on the cake for this guy. But it was the key in how we got to know him. And it changed our thriving community. There are no nobodies. The moonwalk is valuable sometimes when you are forming community. It was the key that got us to get to know this guy. It was this access point in which we got to know that his sense of humor, his music style. He was a really good dancer, which I would have never guessed. And it was an opportunity for us to connect with him. I still see him. I still know him. And very often I'll be like, can you please moonwalk for me? And he just busts up laughing. He's still very quiet. He's still very reserved. That's who he is. But now there's this access point to get to know each other. Everyone is important. There are no nobodies. So if you feel like a nobody, that's a lie. If you feel like you have nothing to contribute, that's a lie. If you believe that you have nothing to learn from the people sitting around you, that's a lie. Every combination of relationship has value within the church. We have to understand and believe and commit to everyone being important and that there are no nobodies. And the final thing that this image of the body teaches us is that we are meant to care for each other. It says God's purpose was that the body should not be divided, but rather that all of its parts should feel the same concern for each other. If one part of the body suffers, all the other parts share in its suffering. If one part is praised, all the others share in its happiness. You know, we are meant to care for one another. If one person is suffering, the others share in that suffering. This requires a complete shift of our mindset. You know, rather than just thinking about your little world and your family and kind of the things that you are responsible for, as a part of the body of Christ, we need to think about each other, about their experiences in the world, their suffering and happiness. And the part that really strikes me about these verses is the word share. Sharing means we split something. Sharing means that we hold a piece of the same thing. It does not say if one person is suffering, fix it. It does not say if one person is suffering, explain it, or dismiss it, or solve it. To share in each other's sufferings and rejoicing means to hold it together. And sometimes that is really hard. But the truth is that someone can only share in my suffering and in my rejoicing if I tell them about my suffering and my rejoicing. Their sharing is dependent on my sharing. So when people ask what I'm carrying, the question is, how do I answer that? Do I answer in a way that allows them to share it with me? Or do I answer in a way that keeps them far away? You know, the greatest lesson I learned in 2017 was the power of letting people into my life mid-process. Okay? My natural bend and my natural personality is to just, like, power through. Like, if you would like to be on a team, just run as fast as I'm running. My instinct is to just power through, to work hard, to stay focused, and to just get to whatever finish line I've arbitrarily assigned in my life. Okay? But the thing that I learned in 2017 over and over and over again was there was incredible power, incredible healing, transformation, support, encouragement, hope that I received when I slowed down and invited people into the process with me. Whatever the thing was, could be really insignificant, or it could be a really big deal. But when I was able to say to someone, yeah, this thing's going on, I have no idea where it's going to land, and I'm sharing it with another person, my goodness, it's incredible to watch people join you. It's incredible to watch people say, oh, I can pray for you in that way, or do you need help, or how, you know, to text on the day where that thing is happening and say, I'm thinking of you today. That's really incredible. It's changed my pace, my understanding of my own ability, and what my choices are when I'm going through something. Because the gift was that I got to experience support and kindness and care and love in real time, not just at the finish line. The body of Christ is designed in a way where we're meant to care for each other in real time, not just at the finish line, not just when things are processed and over, not just when we've transitioned out of this time. You know, the passage in 1 Corinthians, right after this passage, is the passage about love. Love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, it is not proud. The church, the body of Christ, works best in the presence of love. Paul has explained how we're designed to live and work together, and then he is saying, and love is what is required to make that happen. It's not easy to be a part of the body. It can be messy and awkward, and it can also be beautiful and redemptive and healing, but it is not automatic or casual. It requires commitment and effort, and it will completely change your life. Living into the design of the body of Christ will point you to Jesus over and over and over again. The band can start coming back up. You know, I really believe that we are better together. I don't think that that's just a nice saying or a pretty magnet. I really, really believe that. We are better together. But there are things that can often get in the way of us living as a whole body. Things that keep us from kind of believing that we are important. Things that keep us from staying connected. Things that keep us from receiving and giving care to one another. Shame, fear, pride, isolation, pain, past crummy experiences. All of those things keep us from experiencing the body of Christ. All of those things threaten our invitation to live connected to God and to each other. Those are the things that keep us disconnected. And so this morning we're going to sing another song as we end, and I would just encourage you to ask that question, am I connected? Am I fully engaging in the design of the body of Christ? Or is there something that's keeping me at a distance? Is there something that's preventing me from being known? Is there something that's preventing me from using the body of Christ in the full design? Am I just kind of dipping my toes into the water? The body of Christ is a gift to God, from God to his followers. We are not meant to follow him alone. We are meant to follow him together. And so are you partaking in that gift? So let's stand and sing this song, final song together.